Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, May 9th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, my live review of the Ring of Honor Global Wars pay-per-view, as well as my Global Wars hit list. Plus, .NET members are listening to my 48-minute audio review of Global Wars, and they will also hear my Q&A audio show a little bit later today, where I will be answering a lot of their pro wrestling questions and then having some non-wrestling question fun at the end. I'm not going to break down the entire Global Wars event for you because, as I just said, you know, I've covered it in multiple fashions already, but I do want to kind of get into some of the flaws of the Ring of Honor promotion that I've been seeing lately. I kind of remain specific to the pay-per-view and my hit list and just kind of directed people to some of my television reviews. And you can certainly take that approach if you kind of want a weekly breakdown. My reviews of the show tend to go up on usually Wednesday afternoon at some point. I want to say from the start, I'm not saying this out of spite. I say it because I see so much potential for growth in Ring of Honor, and yet I just see some major mistakes being made right now, and that they're not being called out on by very many people, and I don't understand why. Now, you guys do hear Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett. They address some of the issues in Friday's Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. Aaron Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed handled the Ring of Honor television show audio review for the members most weeks, and they have certainly been critical as well. And so, you know, the five of us, without even really spending a lot of time discussing it together, have come to very similar conclusions on this, but it just seems like ROH is being handled with kids' gloves for some reason, and I don't know if it's, well, look at all the great New Japan talent that's coming in. It doesn't mean that everything with this promotion is right. Their television product is so underwhelming, and, you know, hey, progress has been made with production. It's not like there's nothing good about Ring of Honor or its television show or anything like that. The production is 1,000 times better than when Sinclair started running the television shows, and they definitely deserve praise for that, but the actual television show itself just underachieves way more often than not. They give you some really good television main events, sometimes even great television main events, some real independent dream matches even, but they do so in a way where they don't get anything out of it. They just kind of fill television time. They don't give stories building up to a lot of these main events. They just kind of happen. They treat these wrestlers like if you're supposed to know who they are, even if they're fairly new to Ring of Honor television, you're supposed to be just an independent super fan who follows everything. And really, that's the way they've introduced a lot of the New Japan talent as well. Now, enough time has passed that if you've been watching Ring of Honor television for a couple of years and you're familiar with them, but go back to when they first started introducing this talent, it's like they just assumed everyone knows who the stars of New Japan are. I'm sorry, but that's not the case. You know, you're reaching a different audience. It's not just independent superfans who catch Ring of Honor on Sinclair Broadcast Group or Comet or wherever. And I think they could do a much better job of introducing talent, explaining who they are. Guys like Rocky Romero, RPG Vice with Trent Beretta. I mean, they've been on television on and off for the longest time, and I don't know whether, to this day, whether we're supposed to cheer them, boo them. I don't know what they want us to feel. And they're in main events, you know, and in some, again, dream matches as far as independent wrestling is concerned. And they don't give us any direction. It's just, here's your match. Do what you're going to do. Chant ROH, and this is awesome. You know, they'll mention that main event once, maybe twice during the show. Oftentimes, it feels like it's in passing. You know, I'm always impressed, like, my God, they showed a graphic. And the broadcast team does its job. You know, there are times when they will address the main event at the start of the show. I think they've been more consistent with that. But I wish Ring of Honor would take a page out of the TNA playbook. Ring of Honor could actually learn from TNA. And I know that's blasphemy to some of you. Hey, the TNA television show has been very good this year. And one of the things that they do so well is to list the main event of the show. They'll tell you, you may know it a week before, as novel as of a concept as that may seem in today's wrestling, but even if you don't, they will set it up in the early portion of the show and then just keep beating you over the head with what the main event is. You get graphics, you get interviews, you get constant reminders from Josh Matthews going into each commercial break, sometimes coming out. They let you know. Ring of Honor, it's just, well, here's your three or four matches of the week, and one of them happens to be the main event, no matter how attractive it looks on paper. The hype for last night's pay-per-view, embarrassing. They gave us three shows filled with footage from the Honor Rising shows that were taped in Japan back in early February. And they actually went back in time prior to when their previous pay-per-view was held, and the television taping that followed to air these Honor Rising shows. They finally did mix in some footage of Colt Cabana's return at WrestleMania, or not at WrestleMania, but WrestleMania weekend. They did that on last week's television show, not as like a breaking news thing at the top of the show, but as a, here's your opening match, and then, by the way, it's so strange, but there was just no real meaningful hype for Global Wars until this weekend. And if you're like me, I haven't even seen the show. I DVR the show. It's the weekend, and a lot of people, I think, are like that, where, you know, some people see it live, and that's great. There's others that DVR the show, see it when they want, and by the time a lot of people, I really believe, watch the show, well, the pay-per-view's come and gone. And so they had 1 week of significant hype for a pay-per-view. The rest was Honor Rising from Japan, and it was entertaining footage, but it just didn't build to the pay-per-view itself. And it was, I've never seen anything like it. And really, I think they've also, when you take the last pay-per-view, the tapings that followed, and then that Honor Rising footage, they really overexposed the New Japan Pro Wrestling crew to their audience. It should feel special when these guys appear. It's just becoming the norm now for even Ring of Honor television viewers to see these guys. And, you know, I got to say this, when is the last time you've seen a great Tanahashi or Okada match in Ring of Honor? Are these guys just going through the motions? In some cases, maybe, depending on what they're asked to do, you know, they're not going to go out there and try to have a 5-star match if that's not what, you know, if they're just working some middle of the show tag team match on a television taping. I don't expect them to wow us at all times, but I don't know if it's, again, they're going through the motions. And it's still pretty good because even them going through the motions is okay because they're so talented. Or is it because they're just being put into these meaningless positions? Even on pay-per-view, I mean, you had a tag match last night that was good, but I just don't feel like they're getting the best of the New Japan stars on Ring of Honor television. And I don't blame the New Japan stars for that as much as I blame the way Ring of Honor is utilizing them. And I know there's restrictions and they don't want it to be like the last pay-per-view where they caught a lot of heat for basically every New Japan guy going over on a Ring of Honor guy. I get that they're sensitive to that, and they should be, but I still think there's a way to put these guys into more meaningful matches rather than, you know, last time we had Okada against Moose, which was, you know, okay. It was entertaining. It was a different, not the match that jumped off the page at me, but it was very much a middle-of-the-show kind of a match. And when you bring in names like Okada and Tanahashi, you would think, these are main event type guys, or at least, you know, if you, like last night you had Colt and Jay Lethal, so maybe you want that to be your true main event, I get it, but Michael Elgin teaming with Tanahashi to face Okada and Moose, you know, I mean, it's okay, but it's not the type of great things that we were seeing from this New Japan crew when they first started coming over. They were just put in better positions to really shine. Now, I mentioned, you know, things have gotten better since the anniversary show in February, where they did book the Ring of Honor talent to look so inferior by having the New Japan go over. But I really feel like using the New Japan talent the way they do leads to Ring of Honor putting some of their own programs on the back burner, some of their own storylines. And I think it even hurts some of their talent. I mean, Kyle O'Reilly, one of the real rising stars of Ring of Honor, was pinned clean and then kicked in the balls by Naito, whatever pronunciation you want to go with, on the show. And yeah, he's the IWGP heavyweight champion. I get that. But one of your top rising stars was pinned clean and then kicked in the balls after the match. I didn't come out of that match feeling like the Kyle O'Reilly character is a star. I know Kyle O'Reilly is a star because I'm very impressed by what he does, but the way he was positioned on that show just left me shaking my head. I couldn't believe it. He just looked like a scrub coming out of that match. And, you know, hey, I'm not saying ROH shouldn't book New Japan Pro Wrestling talent. I think it's a real coup that they're able to use this talent. I am telling you, though, that they need to be a little more judicious when it comes to the way they book them, how they book them, when they book them. I say limit their appearances and make them count. Give people matches they want to see. You know, this should be, you can't just, with the limitations as far as who can beat who and all of that, I understand, like, you can't give away everything. That it may be a little bit difficult, but I think you can feature them in singles matches that people would be excited by, and not just kind of give them these showcase tag matches that are exciting for the live crowd. I mean, that place came unglued last night in Chicago Ridge when Okada and Tanahashi ended up in the ring together. And I get that. It was a cool moment. But then once that passed, it was okay, you know, and I don't want to feel that way. I didn't feel that way when they first started doing these shows. I would come away from the shows blown away by some of the things we'd see. I'm not feeling blown away now by what I see from the New Japan talent on pay-per-view or on the television show. And yes, you know, it does mean that because of the structure that Ring of Honor talent will have to do some jobs, and that may seem to go against some of what I've been saying, but there's clearly a way for a wrestler to look really strong in defeat, not like a bum who is pinned clean and kicked in the balls. And I also think they should bring in fewer names at once so that New Japan pro wrestling talent actually stands out. You know, it's not this is a little bit different with Global Wars. I get it. It's their tour. But I'm just saying across the board, I don't know that you need to be bringing in as many people as they do. Bring them in with a real purpose, not just look who's on the show. That way, this ROH storylines are not just placed on hold either. And while, you know, Ring of Honor just puts another company's talent ahead of their own. And before anybody goes too heavy and saying, well, it's completely different because of the whole Global Wars and War of the Worlds tour and all of this. Hey, know that we've been seeing these guys again on television since sometime in February. And from what I've been told, we're going to get a lot more ROH in New Japan this year. I hear there's, I believe, pay-per-views in May, August, and even September. If that's the case, it's overkill. And they need to pull back on this or find a way to do things better than they are. I don't think it's... you get that initial buzz when you have New Japan talent on your show, but I think slowly but surely the novelty is dying off. And also, with Ring of Honor storylines being placed on the back burner, I just don't think it's a long-term good move for Ring of Honor, the way they are doing things. There is a way to do it, but I don't feel like they are accomplishing that. Okay, let's discuss tonight's WWE Raw. A few things that I'll be looking for on the show tonight. I got to admit, I'm just struggling here to come up with a short list. And it's not that I'm down on the WWE product, but I am working for these. And some of it has to do with the fact of where we are as far as the pay-per-view calendar is concerned. You know, we're in the middle of the pay-per-view build to a show that's probably going to feature a lot of repeat matches from Payback at Extreme Rules. And so it's kind of a matter of just letting it play out. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of intrigue right now. I think we have even though the matches haven't been announced, we have a pretty good idea of where things go. And I'll start with that. I mean, I assume we get the majority of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view lineup tonight. We only have a few matches official with Charlotte facing Natalya for the Women's Championship in the submission match, the tag title match with New Day facing the Vaudevillains, and then, of course, the world title match with AJ Styles challenging Roman Reigns in an Extreme Rules match. But I assume we find out maybe the four-way for the Intercontinental Championship. I'm not sure how they get to that exactly. I mean, they've been certainly laying the groundwork, but is it just as simple as Shane and Steph agree to it? Is Kalisto and Rusev a pay-per-view match? Rusev became number one contender to the U.S. title. So is that something that plays out at Extreme Rules, or is that more of a television thing? I just hope it's not another pre-show, kickoff show match. I don't think we need to see that. But I think we'll have a much better feel coming out of tonight's show what the overall show looks like for Extreme Rules. Another thing I'm looking for tonight, where they go with AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, and Doc Gallows. And that seems to be a weekly fixture on this list. We saw them trade wins with Roman Reigns and the Usos on television last week. I'm not expecting any major storyline developments tonight, but you would think that this would be the night to put some heat on Anderson and Gallows after they lost on SmackDown. I think they need to kind of recapture that whole element of danger that was there when Anderson and Gallows first arrived that seems to be disappearing. And so I'm not sure if it'll just be another beatdown of the Usos or if they'll get their hands on Roman. I'm not sure where things go, but I am curious to see what comes next in that whole, what the next chapter is in that whole story. And then third thing, I want to see what they do next with Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews. Dolph Ziggler got the better of Corbin last week. He beat him at Payback, then eliminated him from the Battle Royal on Raw. So does Corbin destroy Ziggler on Raw tonight, even though he just destroyed him coming out of the Battle Royal? Where does that go? Is that another pay-per-view match? I kind of assume that it is. What's the stipulation of that? And meanwhile, Apollo Crews eliminated Stardust from the Battle Royal, but then he was eliminated in pretty forgettable fashion by Sheamus. So I want to see Is that a new program? Is he going to try to avenge that elimination? Not that Sheamus did anything; it was all fair and square. Or was it just is a program with Sheamus just not in the cards? You know, where are they going now with Apollo Crews? And Sheamus is pretty damaged goods. Unfortunately, League of Nations didn't do him any favors, and he's just in a rough spot. So I think that working with a guy like Crews could actually be pretty damn good. It could be a stepping stone program for Cruz if that's a direction they want to go in. We didn't really see any signs of it. Cruz just kind of took his elimination and like a man and went backstage, so there wasn't like any type of tell that they're going to do more with these guys. I hope they do. I hope that because I want to feel like they had something in mind and it wasn't just very random, because when I start seeing very random things for guys who are new to the company like Apollo Crews, that's when I start to worry that they don't really have a long-term plan. They're just kind of making it up as they go here, and they don't have anything meaningful in mind for this person. So hopefully we see that, or they just move him into something that feels equally meaningful. But we can find it together. You can join me for live coverage of WWE Raw tonight, beginning with the pre-show note, 6:30 Central. I will be covering the WWE Network broadcast. So if you're busy and you just want to check in and see what matches they announce on the show, you can follow my live coverage report of that show. And of course, I'll be by at the top of the hour, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, with WWE Raw live coverage. The members will hear my WWE Raw audio review later on tonight. And again, that Q&A audio show that I mentioned earlier. Plus, the members are listening to the WWE roster evaluation. It's an annual series that we do. We don't just do it for WWE, but they are up right now. We wanted to wait until after WrestleMania, kind of get a better feel for where people are slotted. Will Pruitt and I did the first part last week. We did the champions and then letters A through C, and it may not sound like a lot, but if you go to the WWE website and follow their alphabetical list, which starts with the first name, well, you can see that there was actually a lot. And then we'll be picking that up at some point this week is the plan. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a very popular series. People really seem to enjoy that, and I think you would as well. So if you were interested in membership, visit the main page of prowrestling.net. You'll find the sign-up area right there. You can listen to that ROH audio review, today's Q&A show, that Raw audio review later on tonight that I'm talking about. The roster evaluation and all of the audio content we've ever done on the member side is available, interviews and all. And all you have to do once you are in that sign-up area is pick the price point that works best for you. Membership rates start at $7.50 for 1 month. If you want to save yourself a little bit of money, though, you can whittle the price down by signing up for a longer subscription. 6 months is an option, and then if you want to whittle that price all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month, take our annual option. Again, all the details available on the main page at prowrestling.net. And if you ever have any questions on membership or anything else, you are welcome to hit me up on Twitter at prowrestlingnet. Also, finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Please take a moment, rate and review us on iTunes. It is always appreciated when you do that, and you are helping spread the word about the podcast. And hey, give us a quick retweet. When I put out the link to this particular show on Twitter, all you have to do is give us a retweet, and you are doing the same thing. You are helping spread the word about the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast. A big thanks to everyone who has already helped out in one form or another. It is very much appreciated. But that will do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow in this slot. Until then, thanks for listening. Take care.